Turning your Bibles with me to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 15, starting a new chapter tonight. I think we're probably going to get through the book of Romans by the end of the year, and we're going to continue to work towards that. I'm not sure about that, but we're going to try, and start it in 2022, and the Lord has been teaching us so much through this book and helping us, and we're going to look at chapter 15, Romans chapter 15. Even though there's a chapter division here, we see how it is a continuation of the thought and teaching of Paul in chapter 14. Two weeks ago on Sunday night, we talked about how we are to judge not and trip not. The idea of we have to be very careful not to judge our brothers and sisters in an unrighteous way. I'm not going to go back and preach that. If you'd like to hear that message, it is online from 2 weeks ago. Not only are we to judge in a wrong way, but we're also to be very careful not to trip up our brother or sister in Christ with our Christian liberties. And Paul is laying it out before these brethren that certainly love each other, but there's going to be some differences of approach when it comes to their guidelines in life, where they believe is what's right for one may not be right for another. And he's telling them and teaching them how to get along when there's differences of opinions. You know, one of the themes, I believe, of this chapter and even chapter 15 is this, and don't miss it, is that God's people can have different opinions and still be of one mind. And it's so important for the health of a local church to be united when serving the Lord, because the devil's always going to try to sow discord. He's going to try to cause division, and it will come from some of the most, just meaningless things that can really cause one to stumble. And I say meaningless, it may be meaningless from one, but it may mean something to another, but that's where we consider one another. And so, again, that was chapter 14. I'm going to pick up reading in verse number 19, because again, of chapter 14, and then we're going to read right into chapter 15. So, Romans chapter 14, verse 19. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. For meat destroy not the work of God. All things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. It is good neither to eat flesh, nor to drink wine, nor anything whereby thy brother stumbleth, or is offended, or is made weak. Hast thou faith? Have it thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. We then, that are strong, ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself, but, as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to preach a message to you tonight entitled, Pleasing Our Neighbor. pleasing our neighbor. Let's pray. Lord, I am so thankful to be here tonight. I feel so overwhelmed that you allow me and give me the privilege of doing this. Just being an under shepherd here at Crooked Creek Baptist, having brothers and sisters here that just love you, that love your work and your will, who we all in some ways are fighting spiritual warfare, but we're here and we're seeking you and we're wanting to grow in grace. Thank you for being with us. And God, I pray you'll take this message and strengthen the body. Help us, Lord, to understand our responsibility of edifying one another, building each other up. And I pray that you'll do it, Holy Spirit. Oh, God, I yield to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, I have always been under the impression, you know, most of my Christian life, that, you know, we are not called to please other people. Only God. Well, there's some truth to that, and I'll further explain. But when you read this verse right here, you read this passage, you quickly understand that God actually does tell us to please one another. Now, I'm going to clarify that here in just a moment. But sometimes we get this idea that, no, I'm here to please the Lord and I'm not called to please others. Well, let's define what please means. Please in this context, please means to strive to accommodate. Strive to give unto. It is an interesting word here. It's the word aresco. And again, it means to accommodate one's self, get this, to the interest of others. It is to accommodate oneself to even the opinions, desires, or interests of others. And ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, that is what Paul is teaching here through this chapter of Scripture, that he's saying, hey, mark it down, church. You ought to be living a life where you are accommodating one another for the purpose of building each other up in Christ, not being a stumbling block. And as we mentioned two weeks ago, we realized that there are going to be some things that you have liberty in that I may not. And there'll be some areas that I have liberty in that you may not. Because remember, what is the theme of these? It's unity, but it's unity around gray areas of Scripture. This is not talking about things that are just simply black and white. Like we know that are crystal clear in the Word of God, the will of God, God's will for our lives. We know we aren't to be lying, stealing, cheating, not to be lazy, not to be greedy, jealous, lustful. It is just so I could go down the line for the next several hours just talking about things that are crystal clear in Scripture. But brethren, there are things in the Word of God that are not crystal clear, that call for discernment and call for balance and call for just really forbearance and even really deference, if you will. And seeking to just understand that we're not going to see eye to eye on every single little thing. But it's okay. We're all so very different. I mean, I look across this room and I see a lot of different kind of people. It's just part of God's beautiful design. But what happens a lot of times in the local church, people let personalities and preferences get in the way of unity. And Paul's writing this church to the church in Rome where there was obviously some things going on, and he addresses it here, but it's for us too. And again, as we talked earlier, I gave the terms, you know, things that are immoral, again, that are bad, evil in themselves. We can see that it's immoral. But then there are things that are amoral, they're neither absolutely wrong or not really absolutely right. And when we look at areas of our life that are amoral, that's where we have to be filled with God's Spirit and use these principles that Paul gives the believers. And we talked about how to handle when there was someone that said has maybe a standard of not practicing certain ways in life, whether it be observing holy days or what they eat or drink. And you got the guy that has perfect liberty. He's been saved. He's growing in the Lord. He knows what he's been delivered from. He knows what he's got. It's been sanctified by the Lord by giving thanks. But then you may have another side over here. Again, no, I don't want to be a part of that. Anytime I get near that, it just triggers memories. It does things. I don't want to be a part of that. And so this brother doesn't need to necessarily hold this brother or sister to the same standard. Okay? That's not right. This is for me. But what happens a lot of times is this part over here that's got these certain, they want to say, no, you should be right here where I'm at. You shouldn't do that or practice that. And Paul's saying, well, wait a minute. No. That's not the right approach either. I'll get back to him. But then you got this crowd over here that, again, has the liberty, and their temptation is to be like, come on. Why can't y'all just get it together? We're free. We don't have to do all that. We don't have to do those things. It's not going to hurt you. And then there's a kind of a, both can have a holier-than-thou attitude, honestly. Both can have a form of pride. Both sides can. And Paul's saying, y'all don't do that. Don't do that. He's saying, look, if you know, brother over here, Paul said, if you know that something's going to be a hindrance or stumbling block, a bother, it's going to tear down in some way, just don't do it. Especially if it's going to be in the context that you know they're going to be around you and things of that nature. He's saying, listen, there is a spiritual maturity called love and practicing love and just refraining from that from being a stumbling block. But neither should this brother hold that brother to a standard of his own. I'll prove to you what I'm talking about here. Look back to chapter 14. Let's just see that again. Again, when he said, for meat, destroy not the work of God, meaning don't let unity be broken over whether you should eat the meat or not. Okay? Because he did say, all things indeed are pure, but it is evil for that man who eateth with offense, another doing it in the way of a stumbling, being a stumbling block. But then, you know, he goes on to talk about here, you know, down further in verse 21 and in verse 22, hast thou faith, have it to thyself before God. Now look at this word, happy. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in the thing which he alloweth. You know, that's talking about this brother here that honestly, I have peace about it. I have liberty. And God says, blessed is that man. Let him walk in that liberty. It's not violating Scripture. It's not sin. Okay? But so should this brother be happy. He should be happy. Listen, this is the standard I got in my life. This is what I'm going to do. I believe God wants me to do. Be happy in that. But don't be disgruntled because not everybody else is doing the same thing you're doing. It's like, we have to be guarded against that. But no, we'll agree with one another. I'm going to pray for you. You pray for me. And what I'm going to explain to you here in just a moment, we do have to be super careful. Because those that would consider, and Paul uses the word stronger, and I want to clarify that statement there when it talks about when he gives the difference between those that are strong and those that are weak. Because I think this is so important for us to understand. There are areas in the Christian realm where you are stronger than me. I'm your pastor. But I'm telling you, there are folks in this church, I know without a doubt, are stronger than me in their walk with God. Vice versa. There's areas I'm stronger than you. We all, listen, we all have a form of weakness. So, technically speaking, everybody in this church is a weak brother or sister in some way. Does that make sense? Okay.
But the opposite is true. There's also everybody in this room is a stronger brother and sister in certain spiritual disciplines. So the beauty of the local church is for us to recognize those areas and strive to do the practical things that are going to not judge each other and look down at each other or be resentful towards one another. No, it's with a spirit of love, as we see here, it is to seek to encourage one another in those ways. And God will bless a church that is unified in that way. Now, let's look back. Let's look at our text here. It says, then when they that are strong, Paul includes himself in that category. Obviously, he didn't have a problem in this context of, practicing certain liberty. He says, when they that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Hence the title, Pleasing Our Neighbor. Now, has anybody ever heard the phrase, it's impossible to please everybody? Is that a true statement? Yes. Absolutely. But as that verse he talks about in chapter 12, you know how Paul says, everything that is within us, we ought to try to live peaceably with all men. As much that lieth in you. In other words, with everything you can, when it's possible, live peaceably. Well, I think there's an element here that goes with the idea of accommodating others. When it doesn't compromise clear Bible instructions and commands, when it's not compromising and going into sin, listen, we ought to accommodate one another. Especially if someone is a weaker in that area, we ought to do everything we can as the stronger brother not to say, I have my Christian liberty. I have peace about that. I can do that. And that doesn't matter what you think about it. That's where it's selfish. We can't look at it that way. We got to say, you know what? I don't have anything wrong with that. But listen, for your sake, brother, I love you. I'm not going to look down on you, sister. I love you. We will do whatever we got to do just to make sure that we have peace and unity. That's what we see here. Not as pleasing ourselves. Now, there almost could be a seemingly contradiction in Scripture because, you know, the Bible does talk about how we should not be men pleasers. So how do we reconcile these two differences? Like, for instance, 1 Thessalonians 2:4, it says, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, notice what he says, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth the hearts. We don't please men. What's the difference? The difference is when it comes to the teaching of the Word of God. I'm not to accommodate my message. In other words, what a lot of churches are doing in our country and all around, they're trying to make the message more palatable. They're trying to make it more acceptable to where it doesn't offend. That's, brethren, where it'd be sin for me to do that. God wants me to preach His Word just like it says. He wants me to live it and preach it and not try to soften the message. That's avoiding the doctrine of eternal judgment. Churches are avoiding that. They're trying to make it softer and more acceptable. Well, Paul is saying, don't do that. But that's not the context of what we're talking about here. He actually covered that again in Galatians 1:10. He says, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. What's he talking about there? He's talking about changing the gospel message. So no, we're not to do that. But brothers and sisters in Christ, when it comes to the gray areas of our Christian walk, even in a church like this, where there's going to be a lot of different views on gray areas. And we talked about those in the last message, some of those. Like, you know, I'll mention one of them. Those of you that would use, for whatever reason, I'm not going to judge you. I'm growing in my Christian walk. I'm not going to judge you. But those of you that use Miracle Whip on your sandwiches,
I'm sorry, but I'm growing in the Lord, and I'm not going to judge you for that. We use Dukes. That's the spiritual mayonnaise. And Starbucks instead of Dunkin'. You know, I think it's a wonderful indication, and even what we studied with emotionally healthy discipleship, when Brother Scazzaro said, "Let love be the measure of your Christian maturity." Whew. It's just having a healthy love and respect for one another, even in areas of differences. God is so pleased when His children walk in unity. And so you say, "Well, Pastor, how does God give someone liberty here and not you liberty?" Listen, let God be God. We all have so many differences and different backgrounds and different approaches and things. It's okay. And the more we realize that, the better off we are. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:33, listen to this. He says, "Even as I please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved." What was Paul talking about? Was he talking about compromising the gospel message? No. You know what he was talking about? He was probably doing some things that were probably out of his comfort zone. Was it sin? But when he was reaching those Gentiles and different things, I'm sure as a Jewish man with a Jewish background, I'm sure there's some things he was probably uncomfortable with. But you know what? He said, "Look, this is not about me. This is about the body of Christ. It's about the glory of God. It's about the gospel message going forward." And he said, "I please all men in all things, not seeking mine own profit." And folks, that's what it all comes down to. We're just seeking to profit one another. We're seeking to please one another, accommodate one another for the sake of the gospel. That will protect us from resentment. It'll protect us from pride. It'll protect us from bitterness. It'll protect us, church, when we practice these things. If you believe that, would you say amen? It's Bible. Let me give you some quick examples, even from the Old Testament. What about Abraham and Lot? Did they have a difference? Yeah. But I appreciate Abraham's heart. You know what he said this when they were a testimony before so many? You know what the Word of God says there in Genesis chapter 13, verse 8? This is what Abraham said. "Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, for we are brethren." Oh, may God help us to have that type of spirit. What about others in the Old Testament? What about Jacob and Esau? Remember the division that was there? Remember when Jacob, they were coming back to meet each other and Jacob was scared to death? And what did he find? He found Esau with open arms. You know, the father loves unity. He loves when people have that unity. What about Joseph and his brothers? Joseph could have turned against his brothers. There was unity there. I think of Jesus' prayer in John 17:11 when he says, "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I have come to thee, Holy Father." He says, "Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are." Jesus is concerned about unity. The Father's concerned about unity. The Holy Spirit's concerned about unity. The great three in one. I think of Brother Gleiser's message on the Holy Spirit. I'll never forget that message. As long as God gives me the mind to on where is the Holy Spirit. If you didn't get that one, please listen to it. It's powerful. But the Holy Spirit is always working in our heart, a spirit of lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. And you know what it'll do? Endeavoring. That means going out of our way for the sake of unity. Endeavoring, the Word of God says, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And I say it like this. The believer is not to tear down God's work for the sake of inconsequential things. Just to be mindful of that. Don't let that bring a division in the body.
The right use of Christian liberty often involves us practicing self-sacrifice or self-denial. And so we understand that's why Paul told the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2, verse 21, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. And in that context, he was talking about Brother Timothy. Brother Timothy had a great testimony of just seeking to be a blessing and encouragement, building people up. And Paul made that comment as he was introducing Timothy. And he was just simply saying, Timothy is one who does not seek his own. So in closing here, I want us to remember these truths. Notice verse 2. I'm going to close with verse 2, I believe. It says here, let every one of us please, there it is again, accommodate, strive to accommodate his neighbor for his good to edification. And you write in your Bible, if you take notes or write in your Bible, you should write Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, right there. Philippians 2, 3 through 4, where it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but let each esteem other better than themselves. That is the spirit that he's going for. And the whole chapter is, we're going to be getting into these verses, deals with the unity of the church. And then he closes it out with this in verse 3. Notice what he says. For even Christ pleased not himself. Wow. But as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. That's taken from Psalm 69, verse 9. That's a quote from the Old Testament. And what he's teaching there is even Christ himself put aside that which was pleasing to himself in order to please the Father. He says, the reproaches of God fell on me. I stepped out of my comfort zone. I didn't seek to please myself. I set that aside for the sake of others like us. Amen. Jesus did that for us. So if we ever think that setting a Christian liberty aside for the sake of another is just, oh, that's just too much trouble. Oh, I just don't want to deal with that. Man, they need just to get with the program and da-da-da-da-da. Paul's saying, no, brethren, that's not the spirit. If you think you're setting too much liberty aside, let's remember Jesus. Let's remember the fact that he pleased not himself, but the reproaches of them that reproached thee fell on me. May God help us to look out for one another, to accommodate one another. I never really looked at it this way, but going forward I am. I want one of my desires and vision as a pastor is I want to please you. I want to accommodate you. Now, I know in the context we can't please everybody. I'm not talking about that. I realize we can't get the perfect temperature in this room. That was so funny when Brother Morris preached on that. That was an answer to prayer. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. You're still cold. But you know what? Look what you have wrapped around you, sister. We are accommodating you. You got a blanket. Amen. But seriously, somebody even mentioned, I was telling somebody coming in that I was where I was going to be and talking about accommodating one another. I said, you know what, Pastor, we could get church blankets with our logo on it for everybody. Hey, that's right. Yeah, I'll consider that. Oh, yeah, see? We got an extra blanket right there somebody's not using. Listen, we understand Paul's not talking about some of these things, but really when it comes down to it, my heart, and I hope you feel the same way about each other, about all of us, let's strive to go out of our way to accommodate each other, even with our differences. Just to love each other. And let the Holy Spirit just fill each of us as we do that. Don't be judgmental and looking down. Don't be resentful because somebody has a higher standard of
approach on an area. Let's don't be those type of people. And let's repent, because listen, I feel like this, hey, we see this in marriage, do we not? Does this ever so happen in marriage that there are some differences of opinions? Not in the Wheelers. Not in the Brewers, I'm telling you. Brother Ken? But you know what? And this is my prayer, that even in like a perfect example with our marriages, yes, there are differences of opinions, but you know what? We still strive for a sweet unity. It's the same thing for a local church. Same thing. Not as compromising and saying sin's okay. No, we're not doing that. But in these gray areas, we understand it is Christian love, it is Christian discernment, and then we'll see next week it is for the glory of God. Let's pray.